Blog Talk Radio.
The First Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 1.
Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
Praise the Lord, this is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Like, welcome to the program. It is August the 1st, 2020, and we thank God for you. Thank God for joining us today. We thank you for calling in at 646-668-2636, and for those who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. We also like to thank you for joining us. Well, today, this is a new month, the month of August. We're starting a brand new series and topics. We're going to be talking about anger, anger in a man's life, in a Christian life. We're going to talk about anger in our relationships. We're going to talk about anger in marriages. We're going to touch on some of the causes of anger, some of the root and the fruit of anger, and how it really can affect our lives as men. Because even as men of God, living a life pleasing to God and striving to walk in His Spirit, but yet anger still rises up for some of us. And this is some of the things that also we need to be able to deal with and be delivered from through the power of God and His Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about that a couple episodes this month for the month of August. I have some guests coming in. We're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about relationships. And then also, as always, we're going to look for solutions on how we can overcome these things, because God can transform us. God can renew our minds, renew our hearts, and deal with some of the emotional and personality issues that we have, that we may be more godly and be obedient to Him and live a life where we love one another, we love those around us, we love our families, and also with anger, it hinders us from being who God has called us and the purpose He created us for and called us who we are and who we were called to be, who we were created for. So I just wanted to encourage the brothers out there. And as always here, we don't Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're here to encourage, we're here to edify, and we're here to come alongside the brothers to start to deal with some of these things that we carry from our sinful life, or the reasons, again, the reasons why we do what we do. Amen. So I don't want to be as always, don't sit on stand on a pedestal and look down on my brothers, because I dealt with anger for a lot of years for a lot of different reasons, and they manifest themselves in a lot of ways. But today I can say that I'm redeemed and delivered from anger, and how we deal with the issues of life and how we deal with people around us, that we don't get anger, we don't get angry and act out and do things that are not pleasing to God and that can hurt our relationships, our marriages, and with our wives and our children and our families and parents and church members. There's a lot. But tonight, again, the next couple of episodes, we're going to be talking about anger, and hopefully we can encourage someone, help someone get deliverance. Let us open in prayer. Father God, I say thank you right now, God, for another day, another opportunity, Lord God. Father, we thank you, God, for your blessings. We thank you for covering us, God. We thank you that you are God. You are sovereign over all things, Lord God. Father, we focus on you today. We focus on your Son, Jesus Christ, oh God. He's deliverer. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our high priest, oh God. He intercedes for us, oh God. And we thank you for sending your Son, O God, to deliver us, O God, from the sins of this world, Father. We thank you for the Holy Spirit living within us, O God, that would encourage us, correct us, O God, and that would guide and direct our steps, O God, that would move us, O God, in the direction that you want us to go in, O Lord God. So we thank you for that, Lord God. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ today. I thank you for the brothers who stand in circle, in my circle of influence, O God, that we encourage one another, O God, we keep each other in prayer. I thank you, Lord God, for the church body as a whole, O God. I thank you for those leaders, O God, who stand in the front and stand to minister and disciple and reach people, O God, and encourage them along the way. Thank you for the prayers, O God, that are going out for me and for my family, God. And, Father, today I just want to pray for that brother, O God, who woke up today, O God, that the challenges of this world may seem overwhelming, O God. But, Father, I ask that you give him a spirit of perseverance. I ask that you give him wisdom, give him discernment, God, that he would not give up, O God, that he would look, O God, to you for the answer, for direction and guidance. Continue, O God, to use men, O God, as you called, see fit, God, to lead in the homes, lead in the church, and lead in the community. So, Father, I just say thank you. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you for what you're about to do. Thank you for what you're going to do. Continue to bless me and my family, O God, and all those that are listening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, again, today we're going to be talking about anger. We're going to impart this, well, I'll say this is segment one of multiple segments we're going to put together and discuss anger to encourage along the way. Again, you can always reach out to us at 646-668-2636 during the conversation. Be part of the conversation. Ask a question. Share your insights, your wisdom, and your opinions. And also, I just like to just to thank everyone out there who has supported me over the years. For this 2020, this is about 6 years we've been on, and so I want to appreciate those who are faithful listeners and take part. Amen. We're going to open with scripture. We're going to go to James chapter 1. We're going to start at verse number 19, and we're going to read, "Wherefore, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." And we just have to stay right there. The application of the word is the most important. We have to be slow. Sometimes we have to be slow. Slow to wrath and slow to speak. Because, again, the things that we do with in this life, life comes at us sometimes at full speed, full power. And sometimes we have to be slow to respond. Sometimes we just have to, I used to tell brothers all the time, sometimes don't take life square in the chest. Sometimes you have to duck. Sometimes you need to put up your shield of faith. Sometimes you got to, you know, get out of the way. You know, you see the train coming, just get out of the way. Let it pass you by. And then sometimes we have to stand and endure. And just be slow to respond because we never know what's working behind the scenes. That we don't have to defend ourselves because we know God is in control. And that's one of the things we have to be rooted and grounded in, that in what goes on in this life and the challenges we face, that God is in control. Nothing is a surprise to God. Death, financial issues, losing your job, sicknesses, nothing is new to God. But there's an answer. There's a purpose for it, and God is in control of it. And she's going to give us a way to escape it. And when it comes to temptation and sin in our lives, whatever struggles of habitual sins or sins of temptation and opportunity that come along our way, there's a way of escape. If we remember who God is, what he's done for us, and what he's delivered us from. Amen. Amen. So today, again, tonight we're going to be talking about anger and the three types. Tonight, I just wanted to just ask a question for every brother out there that's listening. What makes you angry? That's where it starts. We have to understand what makes us angry and why. We have to be able to examine ourselves because a lot of things, all of it is really external. A lot of the things that come at us is external, but I wanted right now to touch upon something to get you to think about and meditate on as we, again, bring you a couple of other shows about this, that, you know, what makes us angry? Sometimes we have to see, is it selfishness or impatience? That's one of the things I just want to encourage the brothers to think about. The things that you're angry about, is it because you're selfish, because you want your way, or are you impatient? Where things are not going your way or people are not doing what you want them to do fast enough, quick enough, that things that God's not turning things around in your life soon enough, you know, But are you impatient in the things around you, in the world around you, in life about, in the things in your life? You want to be somewhere. You want to be certain. I don't know. You want to have a certain job, a certain salary, a certain neighborhood. You want to do better. You want your business to prosper, and it's taking time, and you get frustrated. So it's all in all of that. We have to start with examining ourselves. Always we take Scripture, and we look at it and hold ourselves accountable to it, because Scripture is a mirror. It is a measuring stick. It's how we measure who we are as men and how God created us for. Amen? So for many men, you know, we deal with anger in different ways. Again, sometimes it's on the surface. Sometimes it's behind closed doors. It's in our head. We get angry. But tonight I just wanted to talk a little bit about three types of angry men and see if this is something you used to be that you're in now or you know a brother. Okay? So I'm going to give you options here. I'm not going to call anybody out, but every man has to examine himself and know where he is so we can begin this journey to try and find resolution, solution, and deliverance. Amen? So we're going to talk about three types of men tonight, this morning. I just want to touch on them again. I just want to plant a seed and whet your appetite as we continue to develop the rest of the discussions in the future. The three types of angry men we're going to deal with is flash, control, and grudge. That's flash, control, and grudge. The first one we're going to call a flash. This is the man who has a short fuse. You lose your temper often. Often, the slightest little provocation, little thing doesn't go your way, you explode. You explode into whatever. You know, you TNT, you're dynamite. You're just exploding all over everybody and everything. And the thing about it is, it's like an explosion, but it's like a flash. Like a flash on our cell phones. You take a picture and the flash is so quick and bright, it lights everything up, then it goes away. And that's the other sign of a man who deals with the flash anger personality, that he has a short fuse, he explodes over the littlest things, and then it quickly goes subsides. They walk around like nothing just happened. They just blew up for 25 minutes screaming and fussing, cussing, whatever you do, whenever you go off, and then moments later, it all subsides quickly, it all dies down, you're done, and then you walk around like nothing ever happened. And this is the kind of brother that people don't really want to be around because they never know when the fuse is lit and then when they're going to explode. And people know who you are. You may not know, but people around you know. Your family knows, your wife, your children, your church members. It's that you are in a short fuse and the smallest, slightest thing provokes you. Amen? Again, this is one of the three types of anger. The second one we're going to talk about tonight, again, today, we just want to get the conversation going, is a control. Now, this is a control brother. His anger, he's under control. We all know about power under control and being meek. This is not the brother. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about this brother whose anger, he's on a long fuse. First brother was a flash. He's on a short fuse. The second brother is on a long fuse. You know, he explodes and loses control. He goes off on, you know, he takes stuff and he's like a simmering. It simmers, simmers, simmers. You put a pot on, you're cooking, and it doesn't get hot right away. You know, but once he does, it takes longer and more things he holds. He internalizes a lot of stuff. He keeps it all in till again he explodes. He loses control. He strikes out in verbal tirades. He's everything, you know, he's mocking, he's criticizing everybody. And this is usually a type of brother. This stuff is, a lot of this happens behind closed doors. Because he'll go out in the world, work all day, be around folk on his job, in the church, in the community. He could be the brother who you see out there serving. He could be in ministry. He could be deacon. He could be anything. But then all this stuff is being built up. And he takes it back home to his spouse and his children in behind closed doors. He has a lot of internal bitterness about where he is in life. The pressures of life get to him. But again, he has a long fuse. So he could go through a whole episode during the day and won't respond to it have a happy face on until he gets to a place where he explodes, which most times for some men, it's in their homes. It's with their spouse. I just give a moment to think about that. Can you go all day smiling in strangers' faces, but those who care most about and those you should care the most about is where you come home and you explode on them. So the pressures of life. You're living a life, you're like a volcano. After a while, people see you as a volcano. You're sitting there, you know, you look like, you know, you're strong, sturdy, you're holding up, you're a mountain, you're a man, you're a structure, but underneath there's a boiling explosion waiting to happen, and everybody stands around and participate, and is anticipating the next time you're going to erupt because you internalize a lot of bitterness, a lot of dissatisfaction, and I go back to our original concept of selfishness and impatience with others, but you internalize it all and you hold on to it, and then you always explode behind closed doors. So there's only so again, you walk around with a happy face on all the time, but then around those who are closest to you, this is how they see you. And also, this one also is after you explode. Now this one, instead of acting like nothing ever happened, you come with a lot of ask for forgiveness. You break down in tears. You ask. You tell people you're sorry over and over again until the next time you explode. So again, we have to recognize, if you recognize someone you know, another brother, or see it in yourself, see it someone in your family, someone in your church, that people just go off into rants and tirades, but then afterwards they're crying, they're asking forgiveness, they're trying to, you know, that's after, again, it's an example. That's one of the things we have to understand. When people do these explosions and these outbreaks and then everything, you have one, like I said, the flash, they just turn, they just switch it off like nothing ever happened. But with the control and long fuse, they're asking forgiveness, they're crying, they're looking for apologies, they're asking people to forgive them, they're apologizing all over the place. But there's a pattern in their life that is going to happen again. But those who've been around them a while know it's going to happen again until the next thing, next time that they get angry about. Amen? The third that I want to talk about tonight and just get us off, get us thinking, to stir us up in our spirit about how we're going to talk about and deal with some of these, because we're going to come with solutions down the road again. I invite you to come back. The Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're going to be here every Monday night at 8 p.m., Thursday night at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. as we develop and start to talk about some of these things, how we can overcome this through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit, through the application of His Word. And this is what I always say about the importance of men's ministry or men's gathering, that a man needs to have in his circle of influence men that he can lean on, rely on, and be able to speak into his life and disciple and mentor him so that we can overcome some of these blind spots, some of these struggles, some of these things in our character that we need to fix. And God uses other people sometimes to reach us, to correct us, to get us back on course, to direct us back to the Word of God so that we can start live out the Word of God as we claim to be men of God. So I just want to encourage every brother out there, you know, if you see these traits in your life, or you know some brothers like this, begin to pray and let God lead you on how we're going to move forward in this thing and help to overcome it. Again, if it's in your life or you know some brothers, it's time. You know, we're in the eighth month of the year. You know, there's so many ways out here we need to start reaching one another, and the church needs to start coming back together and reaching and ministering to each other and discipling each other. There's going to be no excuses. Don't let this COVID-19 thing, it is what it is. But as a church, we're still called to be the church. We just have to have different strategies. So we need to start these men's groups. There's a lot of Zoom men's groups. If you go on our Facebook page, there's a lot of men's groups that are starting to get set up Zoom meetings because there's a need. So, and in church Bible studies. So I encourage you. Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. I have links for all most of the men's Zoom meeting. If you're setting up a Zoom meeting, a marriage ministry meeting, not so much Sunday services, but about meetings where people can interact, see each other, talk to each other, and we could talk about some of the issues biblically for a solution. Poke, send me the link. We'll post it on Issues Christian Men's Talk, and hopefully we have some brothers out there, because I always say there's always a need. There's always an opportunity where you never know where a brother might need to hear a word, and the word that you are sharing can encourage them, can pull them back, get them back on course, and stir up in their spirit. Amen? The final one we're going to talk about tonight is the brother of anger. We talked about so far was the brother, the flash brother. He's on a short fuse. He often loses his temper. Talk about the control brother. He's on a long fuse. So he, when he explodes and he strikes out, it's all over the place. And usually that's the brother who you won't see him in public, but behind closed doors, he saves it all for a place where in his mind, in his heart, he feels like he can explode over all the things that happen to him in all day long. However long his fuse is, it could be a week. He could just explode over something that happened a month ago, 30 days ago, or that week or that morning, and until he's in a place where he thinks it's safe for him to explode, where people won't think badly of him. Because, you know, he's one of those brothers I won't call two-faced. I'll call a brother who's living two separate lives. He's living a happy, happy life in public, but behind closed doors in private, his life is in stress. And this is where his anger comes out. Amen? The final brother I want to talk about tonight, the man personality I want to talk about, is the grudge. He hides his anger, and he finds ways to seek revenge. And he's not able to forgive. That's basically what a grudge is. You can't forgive people for their shortcomings. You can't forgive yourself for not getting a job, getting a promotion, not making the right financial decision. You got anger over your bad choices, and now you're upset, and you take it out on other people. You know, your life didn't go the way you wanted. Again, you know, you're impatient, you're selfish, you're insecure where you are, you're not happy where you are, you're not happy where your life is turning out or turned out, the challenges in your life, and then you're unable to forgive and forgive the shortcomings of those around you. Because remember, we got to remember, the people around us, and especially in church people too, but everybody, we're sinners all in need of the Savior, and we all need grace. And a man who holds a grudge has no grace, because people are going to make mistakes. People are going to say things and do things just out of whatever they're going through. That's the important thing we need to remember. Everyone is going through something. Others deal with it in different ways, but we can't hold grudges, because that same person is the person that God may use us to minister to, or that person can minister to us. But a man who holds a grudge, again, his anger is he deals with his anger in a different way. He seeks to get revenge. Again, we talk about over little, insignificant offenses that may look small to us, but that person escalates and blows every little thing into a major disrespect. That's the word I'm looking for, because that's something we use on the street. I was felt disrespected, so I went and got a gun. It's the same thing for us in the body of Christ. We feel disrespected. We get a gun in the metaphor. We plan a revenge. We plan to get back on them. We spread gossip about them. We do a lot of different things. We don't actually get a gun in the bullet, but we still take out our guns and then go after someone. And that's when we're holding a grudge, and that's a form of anger that we have to learn to deal with and do better. So again, tonight, I just wanted to encourage you, whether the brothers, to take the opportunity and search your heart, search your soul, search your scripture, and understand what anger is and under where it's coming from and how are you dealing with it and those around you are dealing with it. Because again, as husbands, fathers, and sons, we have an influence over generations and over a wide circle of people. Because again, our children see us deal with anger, so how would they deal with anger? How many of these young men out here doing a lot of this stuff in our communities come from homes where there was anger, rage, and they're acting out what they learned over the years? So that's how they act out and respond when tested, when pushed, when trials come. They strike out in anger and then get themselves in trouble. So these are things we have to consider, again, as men, as husbands and fathers. So today I just wanted to just encourage the brothers out there, continue to press in. Continue to do what God has called you to do. Again, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. Again, we're here every Saturday morning at 9, Monday nights at 8 p.m., and Thursday nights at 8 p.m. And for the month of August, we will continue to press in on the topic and subject of anger. Amen? So I just want to encourage the brothers out there. Also, before we go, as always, we are called to evangelize and to reach this falling and dying world and this culture. So I want to always, as always, give an encouraging tip for evangelism on what we do as we go out into the communities. A lot of things are going on in a lot of parts of the country, being shut in and masked and social distancing. But we are also called to be salt and light and continue to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I just want to give a tip, evangelism tip. Last time we talked about preparing ourselves for mixed responses when we're doing evangelism. We also have to be able to know that the truth. We have to know what we believe. We have to know what we believe and why we believe it. The truth must be accompanied by grace, and grace must be accompanied by the truth. We have to have a balance. You know, sometimes we go out, we need to have more tact when we go out, because when we go out and we talk to people and discussions come up. If we're out in evangelism and we're having conversations, a lot of things come up with people. You never know where people are, but we have to also be able to have tact and have to speak on specific subjects. Again, we don't go out and because I've seen some do this. I've seen some go out and march against abortion clinics, march against homosexuality. They screaming, they're hollering, they got a bullhorn, they got a sign, and homosexuality is a sin, all these things. But yet, as individuals, when we have to prepare ourselves to be able to discuss the truth with someone who may be living in a sin, who may be making sinful choices. Remember, we are called to redeem the sinner man. So we don't go in trying to criticize, but we speak of the truth. And there's ways we can talk to people in the midst of a sin. You know, abortion, homosexuality, these things are easy. But how do we talk about our personality? How do we talk to the thief? How do we talk to the adulterer, the womanizer? How do we talk to all the other sins that disobedient to God? Which, again, I always say, people's actions and behaviors are fruit from the root, because they don't know. Their foundation, they're coming off a moral foundation that is not scriptural or biblical. But now as we go out, we have to remember, what did Paul, what did Peter, and how did Jesus talk to the unbeliever? Not to the church folk, but how did he speak to the unbeliever, and how was he able to reach them? I point you to the woman of the well. I point to when Paul went into in the book of Acts, I believe chapter 17, we have opportunity to speak at Mars Hill. There's opportunities on how we have to train and know how to speak to the unbeliever, that they, we could understand and explain to them who Jesus was. So I encourage you that the truth must accompany grace, and grace accompanies truth. So we pray a simple prayer in evangelism. God, use me. God, give me the wisdom to be able to speak a word that someone will be able to hear. That God would give a Christ-like balance to my words that I speak. That I could talk to a person, that I can be able to give truth filled with grace, and grace filled with truth. That my tenderness and my words will honor you, even when I talk about correction of sin and what sin is and what sins are and behaviors, that I still have a love and a compassion for those who are still struggling in sin. Those who are living sin because they don't even know. That's one of the things we have to remember as we evangelize. Some people, we don't assume everybody understands who Jesus Christ is. They don't understand what sin is, and they don't know. So are we evangelizing in a way that we can let people see the light and see the light in us? Amen. So I encourage everyone out there. The full evangelism starts with prayer. It's all evangelism projects. But all evangelism for every believer should start with prayer and be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. Again, you can reach us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk, on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk, on Twitter, And as always, continue to go to www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr and join the program. Listen to the rebroadcast of this program and all our past programs. You can always go there when we do our live broadcast and just be part and share the insights. God bless you. And I pray. Let me do this. I just wanted to pray. I want to pray about what's going on in the world. We got a lot of things coming up. We've made it through. This is the 8th month. So we made it through 2 quarters of the year. There's a lot to happen and still a lot more to go. You know, in the secular world, we have the election coming up. We have a lot of things going on, a lot of challenges still out there. But I would encourage every man, woman, and child listening to the sound of my voice, continue to seek God, continue to believe God, know that God is in control, and nothing happens without God knowing. So if as people of faith, as men of God, as the church, as the body of Christ, seek God, seek his wisdom, and continue to pray one for another. And also I just wanted to in ministry, let's reach out. Reach out to your church members, your church folk you haven't talked to in a while. Make sure everyone is okay. Make sure everyone doesn't need anything. There's still a lot of food. Well, here in Maryland, D.C. area, there's still a lot of food giveaways going on. If people don't have groceries in their homes, they're about to change this unemployment situation, so the money is going to be different. So let's keep everyone in prayer, and let's look out for one another. Amen. I just wanted to wish everyone a happy weekend, happy Sunday, and God bless you.